Our New Testament passage this morning comes from the book of Revelation, and it's always funny, on the rare occasion that I do preach from Revelation, people are always stunned, because I've said before that I won't do a full sermon series or Bible study on Revelation, just because I'm not well-versed enough to be able to answer all of the questions that inevitably come from this, but that doesn't mean that I will never preach out of Revelation. It just means that I won't preach on the parts that I have absolutely no idea on. I have to do a lot more studying before I get to those more complicated parts. But as we look at Revelation today, these chapters that I'm going to be reading, they greatly apply to what today is. Today is, of course, Christ the King Sunday, which I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment for those of you who may not fully know what that means. But in trying to decide what I was going to read today, how much of these two chapters I was going to read, I looked and I could cut out a few verses here and a few verses there, but in the end, I decided that it was worth reading it all. So this is a much longer passage than I normally read, but there's a reason for that. So I'm going to start with chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm going to read all the way through to the end of chapter 5. So chapter 1 is 11 verses, chapter 2 is 14 verses. Y'all can do the math. I don't think that's too many verses to read. So I'm just going to read it all. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to follow along. And if not, just open your ears and listen to the Word of God this morning. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbling, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worships Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their beings." Then I saw on the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation, and have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of God for the people of God today.
Thanks be to God.
Well, as I'm sure some of you know, at least I hope you would know if you have been here more than a few years, because I tend to bring it up every year, so hopefully you remember at least some of what I say from year to year. In the Christian calendar, the new year does not begin on January 1st, but it begins with the first Sunday of Advent, which happens to be next week. Can you believe we're already to Advent? We're only 1 week away from the beginning of this season that leads us up to what is, for me, one of my favorite celebrations of the entire year, if not my favorite celebration. I love Christmas. And so as we look at that, if next Sunday is the start of a new year for the Christian church, then that makes this the last Sunday of the year. And with that, we come to what has been known throughout the church since the Christian calendar was established as Christ the King Sunday. It is a Sunday that is dedicated each year for us to remember who our eternal King truly is. And as we prepare to go into the Advent season, which is a time that is meant to look ahead both to the first and the second coming of Christ, it gets us ready for the celebration of his first coming, but it's also meant to prepare us spiritually for his second coming. Before we get into that time, we stop and we take a moment to acknowledge who our King and our Lord is. Who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And it is for that reason that I decided to go with these two chapters from Revelation for this morning. As we look at these two chapters from Revelation, we get an image of worship that is constantly taking place around the throne of God. As we see this in-depth description here at the opening of chapter 4, and there's so much here, I don't have time to even scratch the surface of everything that is in these chapters. I mean, I could preach an entire sermon on just the first couple verses alone. But as we look at this in-depth description, we see the throne, and this description of the throne is similar to descriptions that we find in other places throughout Scripture. We hear descriptions of the throne of God in Isaiah and in Ezekiel and in the passage from Daniel that was read earlier. And in all of these descriptions, there are things that are the same. And while Daniel doesn't have the hymn that was being sung around the throne, we do see that appearing in other places, in Isaiah and in Ezekiel. In Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Revelation, we have these descriptions of the four heavenly beings, these four seraphim who are flying around the throne. And if you read the description, they sound pretty terrifying. There's a reason that every time an angel appeared in Scripture, the first words out of their mouth was, "Do not be afraid." Because can you imagine having one of these heavenly beings that looks like how it is described here suddenly appearing in front of you? I've mentioned this meme before, but I love the meme that has a picture of the seraphim as it's described here in Scripture, you know, covered in eyes, front and back, six wings, and all of this, and the caption with it says, "Why are you afraid? I specifically asked you not to be afraid." But we have this description, and in every time we see the throne of God, we see these same heavenly beings flying around the throne of God, singing praise day after day after day. And they sing this same hymn, and if you look in Isaiah, which is the other place where you find this hymn, the words are the same. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." As you look at the communion liturgy, I know we don't go through the full communion liturgy every week, but there is a part of the communion liturgy where we, as the church, sing out that same hymn of praise. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And day after day, never ceasing, these words are sung around the throne of God. We go further down, we have what you might call the second verse of this hymn. "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." What we see in this picture of worship is testimony to just how great our God is and worthy of praise. Last week, when we were talking about Thanksgiving, we talked about the fact that we are to always sing praises and be thankful, send up songs of thanksgiving to our God. And it's because He alone in all of creation is worthy of praise. And in fact, He is the only uncreated one. So we have these songs of praise that have been going on forever and will continue to go on. But then as we get to chapter 5, we have a change in this scene around the heavenly throne. And we see the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb who was slain, being exalted and lifted up on high and praised. And of course, this is what Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7. As he looked and he saw the throne of God, the one whom he called the Ancient of Days, and the worship taking place around the throne of the Ancient of Days. And then as he describes one like a son of man, one with the appearance like a son of man. This is a term that Daniel used to describe the Messiah, and one which Jesus himself claimed during his ministry. If you look through the gospel, you can see that regularly Jesus claims this title from the book of Daniel as he calls himself the Son of Man. He was telling those who would listen who he truly was. And in the book of Daniel, we see that the Ancient of Days gave authority and rule over to the Son of Man. And that people from every tribe, every nation, all peoples on this earth fell down and worshipped him. And when we get to Revelation chapter 5, we see the same thing. As people from every tribe, every tongue fell down and worshiped the Lamb. And they sing this new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And then they all said, "Amen." We read here that the Lamb, Christ, purchased for God people from every nation, every tribe, speakers of every language, and made them to be a kingdom of priests. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly what we are. As members of the worldwide body of Christ, not just as members of one local church or one denomination, but as members of the entire body of Christ, church with a capital C, that spans all divisions, that crosses denominational lines, and spans throughout all time and space, as members of the body of Christ, as members of His church, we are also members of His kingdom. We are the kingdom that has been spoken of here. We are a kingdom of priests to serve our God. One thing that the Protestant Reformation, of which we are a part of that long string of tradition, was a recognition of the priesthood of all believers. A priest is someone who is called to serve God, to offer up prayers and praise, and to make offerings before their God. And that is an office that is held by every single one of us. Not just the ordained, but all who claim the name of Christ holds that office as a part of this kingdom of priests. And if there is a kingdom, then there is a king. And our king is the Lamb who was slain. He is our king, and he will sit on the throne for all of eternity. As we look to the end of Revelation, which I'm not going to read all of this right now, but we see that in the end, when the new heaven and the new earth is created, that Jesus Christ is named King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will reign for all of eternity. And we will live with him in that new kingdom, in that new Jerusalem. And as Terry's saying, there will be no more night. I can only imagine what it will be like on that day. We read these glorious descriptions of heaven in Revelation, and we read of all of these precious metals and gems, and I've heard people say, you know, I don't know if I'd want to live in a place that's all covered in shiny things. Gold and gems. I like trees. I like fields. I like animals. Well, I heard Christian author who wrote, to call the streets of gold, or the streets of heaven, gold, to say that they are made of gold gives gold way too much credit and the streets not enough. The Apostle John gave us the description that he did because they were the most glorious things he could possibly imagine.
And on the day when we see it, we'll realize that his description just barely scratches the surface of how glorious it'll be. And we live here on this earth in the midst of things that are far from perfect. There are many kingdoms in this world, nations, tribes. And sometimes those nations and tribes fight each other. And we go to war. And we deal with the fallout of those wars, whether we are directly involved in them or not. We face economic depression. We face rising prices. We face so many things that concern us in this world, and rightfully so. But what we cannot fail to remember is that ultimately, there is only one who will sit on the throne forever. There is only one who will live and reign forever, who will wipe every tear from our eyes, and who will destroy war forever, who will punish the evil forever. And that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, as Christians living on this earth, we hold dual citizenship here and in heaven. One day we will be able to go and join our King in that eternal home, a place where there are no more tears, no more pain, no more heartache, where we don't have to worry about people getting mad at each other and starting wars, or someone waking up on the wrong side of the bed and making a decision that sends gas prices skyrocketing again. We won't have to worry about that, because we will be with our King, we will be with our Lord, the Lamb who was slain, who gave his own blood so that we might become citizens of his kingdom. As we go into Advent next week, we go into a time in which we are called to prepare ourselves for that day. Yes, Advent is a time in which we get ready to celebrate the coming, or the first coming of Christ in the manger. And you know me, I love that celebration. But even more than that, it is a time to prepare our hearts. Because when that day comes, we don't want to be left out in the cold. We don't want to be too late. We also shouldn't want our loved ones, our friends, our family, to be too late either. Now, unless if you are living under a rock, or in a secluded Christian bubble, I'm going to guess that every single person here knows at least one person who does not yet know the Lord. I want you to think about them right now. Think about someone in your life. It can be a friend, it can be a family member, it can be a coworker, it can be an acquaintance. But think of at least one person you know who does not yet know the Lord. We don't know when Christ is going to return. And when we hear that final trumpet blast, we're not going to be able to do what a certain Christian comedian said he wants to do and just grab a sinner in each hand and say, okay, one more chance. Do you accept or am I letting go? It'll be too late at that point. Do you want that person who you're thinking about in your mind to be with you in heaven? Do you want them to witness the joy of our heavenly King putting an end to all heartache, an end to pain, an end to suffering? Do you want them to come with you? Do you want them to see the mansions, the no more night, all
of those things tarry saying up? If the answer is yes, in this Christmas season, this Advent, I encourage you to take the opportunity to reach out to them, to show them the love that God has for them, that He showed when He sent His Son the first time. Pray for them. And be bold and share the good news of what Christ has done for them, so that when that day comes, they too may be counted amongst this multitude, singing praises to our eternal King. As we come to the table today, let us come celebrating the one who gave of himself, the Lamb who was slain, the eternal King, who bought our citizenship in heaven with his own blood upon the cross. Amen.